You're listening to The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Giraldito. For most of your life, when you bought groceries, you probably brought home carrots, cheese, maybe potatoes, but all of it in plastic bags. Those bags have a significant environmental impact, and recently, New York became the latest state to institute a ban on single-use plastic bags. Now, there will be some exceptions to this, but overall, the aim is to cut down on the state's plastic consumption. According to New York's Department of Environmental Conservation, New Yorkers had been using roughly 23 billion plastic bags per year. California and Oregon also have statewide plastic bag bans, and cities across the country have implemented bans and taxes on the bags. And you've been talking to us about this.
Yeah, I used to live in Brooklyn, but I'm up in Amherst, Massachusetts now at graduate school, and there's a plastic bag ban that's been in effect for 4 years. And it's great. I love it. I just always have bags in my car. Sometimes I get the paper bags at the grocery stores and I use those for my trash and recycling. Hopefully, we'll see a good shift as more bans happen across the country.
Well, here in Oregon, we've had single-use plastic bag bans for quite a while. As of 2020, a statewide ban went into effect. So far, I think it's been going well. It's the fact that it's 5 cents for a bag doesn't seem to be a huge problem. It is a habit that we all have to build. Hopefully, we'll see more as time goes on. I'd love to hear about other states and their data.
These plastic bag bans mean a lot for consumers and for the environment. Tatiana Hamanoff is an assistant professor of economics and public policy at New York University. Thanks for being here, Tatiana.
Thanks for having me.
And Julia Stein is the project director for the Emmett Institute on Climate Change and the Environment at UCLA School of Law. Good to have you with us, Julia.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Julia, in 2014, the Earth Policy Institute, which is an environmental nonprofit organization, estimated that we use about 1 trillion plastic bags globally per year. What are the environmental impacts of producing these bags, and what tends to happen when we throw them out?
Yeah, so, I mean, the environmental and human health impacts of plastic bags are severalfold. So, you know, at this point, there are about 700 species that are affected by plastics, including about 84% of sea turtle species. And what can happen is that marine wildlife can mistake plastic bags for food, and so they'll ingest them, and then ultimately that leads to their deaths. But plastic also breaks down in water, and so humans are now exposed to plastics in our water, in our table salt, in our seafood. These plastic particles have been found in most water systems in the United States. And plastic also has climate change impacts. So plastic is a petroleum product, and studies are also showing that plastic releases greenhouse gases as it breaks down in landfills as well. But plastic production is on the rise. By some estimates, the greenhouse gas impacts of the petrochemical industry will increase by 30% by 2050. And there are, of course, other environmental consequences to plastic production, like the emission of other chemicals into the air and water as part of the production process.
Tatiana, New York State is completely banning thinner plastic bags, but not the thicker ones or paper ones. Based on your research, how effective is this sort of ban?
So the city of Chicago placed a ban that was nearly identical to New York State's ban, which, again, thin plastic bags will no longer be available in grocery stores. But these policies leave other types of disposable bags unregulated. Stores can offer paper bags, or they could also offer thicker paper plastic bags for free, which is what we saw many retailers do in Chicago, leading to potentially an increase in the amount of plastic used.
So if we could look at a different part of the country, Julia, California banned single-use plastic bags in 2016. How does that ban compare to New York's?
Sure. So California's ban is a little bit different. And like Tatiana mentioned, you know, in New York, there is no mandatory fee component to other types of single-use bags, like thicker plastic bags or paper bags that are going to be used in stores. And so, you know, what we've seen in situations like that is that consumers will sometimes use that other option. And that doesn't necessarily decrease environmental impact. By contrast, California's law applies a mandatory fee to other types of single-use bags. And so CalRecycle, our state agency that's responsible for waste management here, shows that that setup has dramatically changed customer behavior. So now in about 86% of transactions, customers will bring their own bags in California.
Tatiana, we know that some cities are opting for a tax on plastic and paper bags instead of an outright ban. And you have spoken with consumers in Washington, D.C. after that plastic bag tax went into effect. How effective are the taxes?
So the taxes, like the ones in Washington, D.C., have been incredibly effective at decreasing all disposable bag use, not just plastic bags, largely because these are policies that regulate all types of disposable bags, thick plastic and thin plastic, plastic and paper. And we saw a 42 percentage point decrease in the likelihood of using a disposable bag after that tax went into effect. Consumers that I spoke to say that this is a policy that they actually support, that it's effective because it is sort of a pain. They don't want to pay 5 cents, but they also support it. It encourages them to remember to bring a reusable bag, which is a behavior that they always mean to do and just forget to do.
When we talk about behavior, so much of this involves consumer behavior. Julia, some people use those so-called single-use plastic bags twice, once to bring home their groceries and then again to bag their trash. How much of a concern is it that once you ban these types of single-use plastic bags, consumers are just going to be buying more products like plastic garbage bags?
Sure, which are, of course, not banned under the ban. But, you know, I think one thing to bear in mind is that these are things that really can only be used once or twice at best. And we're really trying to shift consumer behavior away from using those types of products. Some single-use products, like single-use plastic bags, are both unnecessary and particularly challenging to recycle. So plastic bags are a prime example. They gum up waste management, plant works, and they can't be fully recycled, so they're a prime target for a ban.
So why not focus on the companies producing these instead of just the consumers?
So I think the important thing to bear in mind is that source control is important. Much of the conversation has been focused on recycling to date, but there's not as much recycling going on as you think. Only about 10% of plastic waste is recycled. And with countries that used to accept our plastic waste, like China, closing their doors, the U.S. is left without adequate waste management infrastructure to process all of our plastic waste. So, you know, we have to change consumer behavior as well as asking producers to take responsibility for the waste that they're generating as well.
And Tatiana, very briefly, a tax on these bags, could they disproportionately impact low-income communities?
So many of the policies do have an exception for customers who are shopping using SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or WIC. These are two nutritional assistance programs used by low-income households. But what my research shows is that if you're a policymaker that is concerned about the financial burden on low-income communities, some of these very small taxes can still have a very large effect on consumer behavior. So why not levy a very small tax instead of a larger one? And you still might get those environmental benefits without creating financial burdens on low-income shoppers.
Tatiana Hamanoff is an assistant professor of economics and public policy at New York University, and Julia Stein is the project director for the Emmett Institute on Climate Change and the Environment at UCLA School of Law. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.